Is my water safe to drink? It's a simple enough question, basic even. But in light of the lead crisis in Flint, Michigan, many are finding that the answer isn't always easy to determine or accept.
So would you drink this water in here?
This maybe not. No, I don't know about that.
I'm Carol Holsapple. This week on the Allegheny Front, stories from a new series, Hidden Poison. It's a collaboration with some of our public media partners to look at the lead problem in water through one city, Pittsburgh. We'll cover a lot of ground, from switching the chemical used to treat the city's drinking water.
That choice is what resulted in the lead issues that Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority is dealing with now.
To the reluctance of some residents to replace their water lines.
I think it's a great question to ask whether people understood the health risk and also understood the opportunity in front of them.
And how can you tell if the pipes inside your home are made from lead?
If you scrape it just a little bit, you see how it's got that bright silver color to it.
All that and more is coming up as the Allegheny Front explores the hidden poison of lead. Stay with us. First, some news. Shell Chemical is expected to begin construction of a $6 billion petrochemical plant in Beaver County later this year. But a new report says there's plenty of room to grow the state's petrochemical industry to take advantage of the region's natural gas. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports.
The top line stat in the report, by 2030, there will be enough gas coming out of Pennsylvania to supply Shell's chemical plant and four other new ethane crackers.
So that really kind of, makes everybody kind of stand up and take note of the fact that we have just a tremendous opportunity.
Dennis Davin is Pennsylvania's Secretary of Community and Economic Development, which commissioned the report with funding from the public-private Team Pennsylvania Foundation. The report says as more gas comes online, it'll create a surplus even after supplying gas to Shell, whose plant received over $1 billion in tax breaks from the state. It recommends the state try to attract more plants that can use this extra gas. Davin says the state is doing this by working to repair critical infrastructure like locks and dams, railroads, and highways. And he said he wouldn't rule out tax incentives to get other companies to come to Pennsylvania. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
Okay, now on to our series, Hidden Poison. When lead gets into our bodies and into our blood, the health impacts can be devastating, especially for children. High lead levels can cause headaches, behavior problems, and lower IQs in kids. The water provider for most of the city of Pittsburgh exceeds EPA's standard for lead. The reason why is still under investigation. But the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports most observers agree one key decision played a role: the change to a cheaper, less effective chemical to keep lead out of the water.
In the bowels of the Pittsburgh water treatment plant along the Allegheny River, Gina Cyprich shows off more than a dozen plywood structures lined up in a row, rigged with different colored pipes.
So the metallic color one is the lead pipe. It looks gray. And then the copper pipe is obviously copper color.
Cyprich is acting chief of water quality for the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority, PWSA. PWSA provides 300,000 people with their drinking water. We are looking at an experiment to see which chemicals work best to keep the lead out of the city's water. So would you drink this water in here?
This maybe not. No, I don't know about the after coming out of the lead. But
PWSA has to run these tests because the lead in its drinking water exceeded federal action limits last June. The treated water coming out of the plant is basically lead-free, but it flows through the city's decades-old water system. About a quarter of service lines running into houses in the city are made of lead. At a room upstairs, Cyprich shows off a pile of these old pipes.
These are harvested lead pipes from the ground. These are folks' service lines that have been removed.
The pipes are still caked with red clay and bent like garden hoses. Their ability to bend was one of the benefits of lead pipes. Inside one of the pipes, a thin coating is visible.
You can see the, you know, the coating that we're trying to optimize in our system.
That coating is important because it acts as a barrier between the lead in the pipes and drinking water. Water utilities add special chemicals called anti-corrosives to encourage the buildup of this coating. For decades, the authority used soda ash to get this job done. Leonard Kassin is an engineer at the University of Pittsburgh who studies drinking water systems, including Pittsburgh's. He was part of a group in the 1990s that decided PWSA should use soda ash.
This would provide a coating for the pipes, and it would also elevate the pH so the water would not be as corrosive.
But in 2012, the authority entered into a contract with a private management company called Veolia. Staffing in the water quality lab fell from 10 to 6. And in 2014, while it was under contract with Veolia, PWSA changed its chemical formula for preventing corrosion inside pipes. Instead of soda ash, it started using caustic soda. Caustic soda is approved by the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection for corrosion control, but it's not as good as soda ash, Kassin says.
It was never envisioned as a long-term solution. A day or two, a week, that's one thing. Not a long-term solution because it would remove that coating that had been built up since the 90s.
PWSA told the DEP the change was made because of an obsolete soda ash feeder and because caustic soda was cheaper. Under the terms of Veolia's contract, the company took home half of any cost savings it realized while managing the authority. Kassin thinks this drive to save money, the main reason Flint, Michigan's water exceeds federal lead standards, is what caused Pittsburgh's water to fail.
They made that choice, and that choice is what led to or resulted in the lead issues that Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority is dealing with now.
Veolia did not agree to an interview, but in an email said it was not responsible for the switch to caustic soda. The company says it would never prioritize cost savings over public health, and that the decision ultimately rested with the PWSA Board of Directors and the City of Pittsburgh. The city's response?
I'd say that's a matter that's presently in dispute as part of our litigation.
Kevin Acklin is Mayor Bill Peduto's chief of staff. The city fired Veolia and is now suing the company. Acklin says upper management at the authority were Veolia employees and were responsible for the decisions they made, including the one to change the chemicals.
This was not only a decision that the board didn't make, it was a decision that the board was not informed about.
PWSA board members weren't the only ones that didn't know about the change of chemicals. DEP regulators only learned of the switch to caustic soda because the authority announced it was switching back to soda ash early in 2016, in the wake of the lead crisis in Flint. Ronald Schwartz is in DEP's Pittsburgh office.
So naturally, we asked the question, you're switching back to soda ash, you should have always been on soda ash. So that is what ultimately led to our notice of violation for changing treatment chemicals without a permit.
The violation meant PWSA had to retest for lead. 17 out of 100 homes tested exceeded the federal limit of 15 parts per billion. PWSA is now being required to inventory its lead service lines and begin to replace them. One man who watched all this from afar is Stanley States. He used to be the authority's longtime water quality manager until Veolia moved him to a desk job and he retired.
And that change in treatment chemical would never have occurred if I were there. And certainly if we did, we would have contacted the state, but we wouldn't have made that change. It wasn't a good change to make as far as lead's concerned.
Complicating all of this is that Pittsburgh's lead levels have climbed steadily since 2007. The age of the pipes is one factor, but States thinks another could be the changes the authority made in its chlorination process to meet stricter federal water quality standards that recently took effect. He thinks over time that could have freed up more lead by changing the chemical environment of the water. Either way, States faults Veolia for not paying enough attention to lead levels, which by 2013 were just under the federal threshold.
And they didn't pay enough attention to what was happening when the numbers start going up. They should have been on that, and they missed it. And that was Veolia. I'd have seen it, and because I watched it for 35 years. We would have, why is this going up?
State says the authority is on the right track now that it's switched back its chemical treatments, But he says the only surefire solution is simple, if costly: replace the lead pipes. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier. When lead levels in Pittsburgh's drinking water jumped past federal limits last summer, Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority had to figure out how to replace its old lead service lines, and they were looking for the most effective way to do it. Keystone Crossroads' Margaret J. Krause has more on the pilot project taking a block-by-block approach.
Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority, or PWSA, owns 1,000 miles of water lines. Bob Weimer is Interim Director of Engineering and Construction for the authority. He says about a quarter of those lines are lead, and his ultimate goal is to remove and replace all of them. However,
we don't know where they are, so we have to find them.
That means a lot of digging, which Sabrina Spire Robinson has experienced firsthand on her street in Upper Lawrenceville.
Now, in front of every house, there is a trench, and also the trench extending down the whole street.
Spire Robinson lives on a hill, where a steep set of steps leads to her front door. From there, she and her husband Ted can see the Allegheny River, but mostly what they see are construction scars.
And all of this has been sort of hastily filled in with asphalt that, especially in wintertime, you know, freeze-thaw, is coming up in big chunks. And it has been like this for almost a year.
A crew started excavating the street last May for a scheduled water main replacement. When elevated lead levels emerged a month later, PWSA decided to use the Upper Lawrenceville project as a test run. How best to systematically replace lead service lines. But here's the catch. A service line has two distinct parts. One runs from the water main to the curb. The second runs from the curb to a house. And under Pennsylvania law, PWSA can't touch the second piece. Here's Weimer.
We're sort of hamstrung in what options we have to replace the private side of the line.
During the project, PWSA replaced 340 service lines, up to the curb. 58 were lead. When workers found one, PWSA hung notifications on the homeowner's door and sent out a letter. The letter said PWSA would leave the sidewalk open to allow residents time to replace their side of the line. 11 people wrote back to say they were interested in replacing that line. Weimer says in the end, only one person did.
And we found out that, you know, people didn't feel motivated for whatever reason, whether it was a lack of money or the lack of an understanding.
The fact that only one person replaced their line underscores the difficulty of coordinating a Pittsburgh-wide lead line replacement between homeowners and PWSA. Councilwoman Deb Gross represents Pittsburgh's 7th District, which includes Upper Lawrenceville. She says while PWSA tried to communicate with people, it wasn't enough.
I think it's a great question to ask whether people understood the health risk and also understood the opportunity in front of them.
Gross is a PWSA board member, and she says the authority can do better.
We should have confirmation of a negative. So instead of just saying, well, we never heard from the resident, that shouldn't be good enough. If someone honestly has the option of doing their portion of their water service line, we should have it in writing that they are choosing not to.
Weimer stands by the success of the project. He says PWSA reduced the amount of lead pipe in the system. They learned how difficult it's going to be to get private lead pipes out of homes. For 2017, the authority has budgeted more than $17 million for lead-related improvements, but it's going to take years to rip out those pipes. In the meantime, Mayor Bill Peduto has said his administration will work with state legislators to empower PWSA to replace private lead lines. Margaret J. Krause, Keystone Crossroads.
Our Hidden Poison series, Examining Pittsburgh's Lead Problem, is in collaboration with public media partners 90.5 WESA News, Public Source, and Keystone Crossroads. Public Source, an investigative news outlet, put together a detailed timeline of Pittsburgh's lead problems with links to news and sources. That and all of the stories so far are at hiddenpoison.org. And there's more to come next week, so keep checking back. The federal lead and copper rule is being rewritten. It's supposed to protect us from lead in water, but some say the latest version doesn't.
In reality, the lead action level is not met, the water is not safe to drink, and the corrosion control treatment in place is not adequate to protect people from serious exposures.
That's later on the Allegheny Front. Stay tuned. So we've heard about how the Pennsylvania DEP ordered the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority to replace its lead service lines because water sampling indicated lead levels above the federal action limit in some homes. We've also learned that, at least in Pittsburgh, homeowners are responsible for replacing the portion of the service line from their sidewalk up to their house. But what about the pipes and faucets inside your home? Mark Brush, a reporter at Michigan Radio, wanted to know if his house had lead pipes, and he joins me now. So, Mark, to figure out if you had lead in your home plumbing, you started in the basement.
Yeah, it's just one of these questions that nagged at me for a long time, you know, in covering the Flint water crisis. We understood what happened there, and I wanted to find out what was going on in my home, because when we drink the water there, we drink it straight from the tap. So in order to figure that out, I called a local plumber and pipe fitters union here in Michigan, and they connected me with this guy named Randall Whitaker, and he trains plumbers for the local 190 here in Ann Arbor. And he came over to show me how to find out what kind of service line is coming into my house. And we found that down in the basement, low to the wall, there was a pipe coming out of the corner down there.
As you can see here, this is copper coming in. Where it looks the same, this is all copper, where it would be almost a rusty brown color.
Copper is good. That's not lead.
Yeah, he said if I had had a lead service line coming into the house there, when he scraped it with a screwdriver, the metal would have been soft and it would have turned real shiny. Aside from lead, you can also have plastic or galvanized steel coming into your house. If it's steel, a magnet would stick to it. If it's lead or copper, it just won't stick. And here's a little side note. It's possible that lead service line coming into your house is just partial. So there could be a section of that lead service line that is actually lead that you wouldn't know about. You might want to call your city and ask them if they know or if they can help you find out.
Okay, where else did the plumber say lead could be hiding out?
Well, I have an older house, and the pipes are all copper in there. And he said that the solder that holds the joints together more than likely has lead in it.
You know, some of these joints, you can kind of do that scrape test as well. I don't know how well you can see it, but that joint has that matte dark gray finish. If you scrape it just a little bit, you see how it's got that bright silver color to it.
He said there's no way to know for sure just by looking at what that is. The solder, he thinks, is more than likely what they call 50-50 solder. So that's 50% lead and 50% tin. That was the kind of solder they used before 1986.
So your home plumbing could have lead in the service line and lead in the solder that connects the pipes. Where else could there be lead?
A lot of faucets and valves in homes have brass in them. Brass is an alloy made mostly of copper and zinc. But when they made these faucets and valves before 2014, the brass also had some lead in it. Today, there's a new standard in place, and the faucets and valves that you get today have a lot less lead in them.
If you have a faucet in your house that was purchased and installed before 2014, should people replace it?
Well, you could if you're worried about it. The best way to find out what's going on in your house is just to test the water. That's the best way you can get a snapshot of what's going on inside your own home. Faucets are just easy to replace. They're not that cost prohibitive to replace. But replacing all your plumbing and your service line, that does get much more expensive. Several experts told us that you can just run your water for a few minutes before drinking or cooking. And then you can also buy a water filter that fits right onto your faucet. And when you do that, you want to look for filters that are certified to remove lead.
Well, thanks, Mark, and also thanks to your plumber.
You're welcome.
Mark Brush is with Michigan Radio. And you can find out more about lead in home plumbing at our website, AlleghenyFront.org. I'm Carol Holsapple. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. To know if you're being exposed to lead through your water, you need a test. In Pittsburgh, PWSA will do that for free. But they're now outsourcing customer lead tests to independent laboratories. WESA's Liz Reed visited one of these labs analyzing Pittsburgh's tap water to see how the process works.
About an hour east of Pittsburgh in Indiana, PA, inside a windowless building set far back from the road, the scientists at Environmental Service Laboratories test all kinds of things for safety and compliance with regulations, from drinking water to toys to hazardous waste. Gabriel Taylor is the laboratory director and shows me the machine that analyzes tap water samples for lead.
It's called inductively coupled plasma, optical emission spectroscopy.
A lab tech prepares a tray with 60 different 50 milliliter vials. The instrument has a little robot arm with a long metal tube that sucks the water samples out of the vials and up into the body of the machine.
It has what's called a spray chamber. It's changed into an aerosol, which is basically a vapor. It goes up into the machine. The vapor is just basically excited by a plasma torch.
The plasma torch creates an electromagnetic field, which excites the atoms in the sample. Each element will give off a different wavelength of light, and the machine analyzes that light to see if there is lead in the sample and how much. ESL's chief technology officer, Angela Chapman, says they calibrate the machine using samples with known amounts of lead each morning. With each batch, they feed it quality control samples to make sure it's still on target.
We add the amount of lead to that water so we know what it is. We add 10 milligrams per liter of lead to the QC standard. The instrument processes that standard, and then we know we should get back out 10 milligrams per liter of lead because that's what we put in it.
Chapman says each result should be correct within 5% as per Environmental Protection Agency standards. So if a sample has 10 milligrams per liter of lead in it, the result should be between 9.5 and 10.5 milligrams per liter. It takes just 90 seconds to analyze each sample, about an hour and a half for a whole tray. ESL aims to have results to customers within 2 weeks of receiving the sample. Taylor says only about 60% of the test kits they send out to customers actually make it back to the lab for analysis.
So if anybody has a kit laying around at their house and they haven't sent it in, might be a good time to send that in as a reminder.
I'm Liz Reed, 90.5 WESA News.
The problem of lead in our drinking water has been in the public consciousness for years. But since the tragedy with Flint, Michigan's water, which poisoned hundreds of children, and reports of lead in water in other cities like Pittsburgh, debate has opened up about overhauling federal regulation of lead in water. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant reports that many experts are concerned EPA is considering changes that could actually weaken protections for public health.
The intention of the lead rule is to protect public health. To find out how well it works, we asked Mark Edwards, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Virginia Tech. He helped expose Flint's lead problem.
To understand what a sick joke the existing law has become, you only need to know that as National Guard walked the streets of Flint, Michigan, distributing bottled water and filters, and we had neighborhoods of children with elevated lead in their blood, Flint was not failing the lead and copper rule.
How could this happen? How could a community with such high lead levels in the water not have been violating the regulation meant to prevent lead in the water? Well, under the current rule, water utilities are supposed to test tap water at some of the homes it considers high risk for lead every few years. If 10% or more taps sampled have high concentrations, the utility is supposed to take action. That could mean adjusting corrosion control chemicals at the water treatment plant or starting a program to replace water service lines made of lead. But that's expensive. Edwards says many utilities like Flint use testing methods that cheat the rule.
We've known about horrific gaps in loopholes in this rule for at least 10 years now.
The Guardian newspaper last year identified 33 cities that use those loopholes. Pittsburgh was not listed, but those that were, Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia, do things like instruct people to pre-flush the tap or remove aerators from the faucet before testing the water. These techniques can hide lead contamination. Philadelphia declined to comment for this story. A class action lawsuit on behalf of residents alleges that city of cheating. And in Flint?
We are announcing charges against four individuals.
The state filed criminal charges against local and state officials in part for hiding the lead levels from residents. But even before the crisis in Flint, Tom Neltner was on a committee tasked with overhauling the 26-year-old lead in water rule.
EPA has a National Drinking Water Advisory Committee, and they formed a work group called the Lead and Copper Rule Work Group.
Neltner is Chemicals Policy Director at the Environmental Defense Fund. The committee also included about 20 water utilities and public health departments. In 2015, they came out with a set of recommendations. Their focus was on replacing lead service lines. Those are the pipes that connect the main water line that runs along your street into your home.
Well, we basically said that the current system makes lead service line the last resort. You only do it after corrosion control has failed and nothing else is working. What we said is you need to start now, that right up front, you need to have a program to get these lines replaced.
The American Water Works Association, which represents the industry, has endorsed this recommendation. Most older cities are rife with lead service lines. Replacing them throughout the country could take 30 years or more. Pittsburgh has already been ordered to replace 7% of its lead service lines a year because of its elevated lead levels and problems with corrosion control. Some experts say this still won't solve the problem in many homes.
Well, that won't do very much because most of the lead in people's drinking water isn't coming from lead service pipes. It's coming from the plumbing in their house.
Joel Schwartz is an environmental epidemiologist at the Harvard School of Public Health. He says many homes, even if they don't have lead service lines, still have lead in the solder that connects the pipes and valves and faucets. Schwartz wants the revised lead and copper rule to focus instead on improving corrosion control chemistry.
Corrosion control helps everywhere and is a lot cheaper.
Yana Lambrinidou is a professor of science and technology and society at Virginia Tech, and she was a member of the EPA working group to update the lead and copper rule. Well, she supports replacing lead lines.
I think that is a no-brainer.
She also wrote an extensive dissent because the recommendations wouldn't close the loopholes that allow utilities to underestimate lead in the water. In fact, they wouldn't even require sampling in homes at highest risk for lead anymore, which she says might make things worse. Those home lead samples inform the corrosion control decisions that are supposed to keep lead levels low.
When in reality, the lead action level is not met, the water is not safe to drink, and the corrosion control treatment in place is not adequate to protect people from serious exposures.
The EPA is expected to use the working group recommendations to write and release an official draft rule later this year. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
Thanks for listening to this week's show. Hidden Poison is a collaboration of the Allegheny Front and our public media partners, 90.5 WESA News, Public Source, and Keystone Crossroads. Keystone Crossroads is a statewide public media initiative reporting on the challenges facing Pennsylvania cities. All of the stories in the series are at hiddenpoison.org. Kathy Naur is the executive producer of the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments, the Pittsburgh Foundation, the Foundation for Pennsylvania Watersheds, PNC Charitable Trusts, and the Benedum Foundation. The Richard King Mellon Foundation supports our coverage of energy and conservation.